Psalm chapter number 1. We're going to talk about something really, really interesting. I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be fun. I think it'll be something that we all can apply into what our daily life is as Christians. But first, I'm going to need someone to volunteer. So Josh, I think I'm going to pick on you today, because and I'll call you whenever it's time, okay? So we have something in the Bible that's really interesting. The Bible says Psalms chapter number 1. Let's read the whole psalm, and then we'll get into the message. It says this: "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And here's the key verse: "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." We'll stop right there. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the message. Dear Lord, thank you for all that you've given to us today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for providing for us and for giving us a church that we can go to so that we can learn more about your word. Thank you for all the work that has been done so that we can enjoy a nice place to meet tonight. And please help us all to get something out of your word that we'd be able to apply every day in our lives. We love you and thank you. Amen. Okay, so here's what it is. Josh, come on up. We have an illustration down here, and I borrowed these, and I actually washed them, so you're good to go, okay? I have right here an apple, and you're going to help me by eating this apple. I hope you like apples. You're not allergic to apples. No, you're not. Okay, watch out for the sticker. I think you're allergic to that. So we have fruit. Go ahead and start eating. I'm going to keep talking while you're eating, okay? We have fruit, and it's incredible how these things work. Are you okay over there? You good? Okay, so God designed these things so effectively. It's amazing. You have different sides of the idea of whether we evolved or whether God created us. To me, it's obvious. You can't get something so efficient without an actual designer. No one came in here after seeing a big explosion and thinking, wow, the explosion formed this building. No one ever thinks that. We know that that destroys things. It takes someone with intelligent design to be able to make things. God made not only this fruit, but he, inside of this fruit, he gives us a process, something that we can use to help us as a church, to help us as Christians, and to help us as a church. So I want to give a little comparison here. There are more plants than there are animals in this world. I believe that's a correct statement. There is much, if you look at individual organisms, you have all the grasslands over and over and over and over. You have so many animals, but you have tons of plants. You have a ton of trees. You have all kinds of things that produce fruit or seeds or nuts or whatever it is, and there are so many of them. So many, in fact, that they are able to grow and to thrive and to support all of life that there is on this planet, and much of it is wasted. It goes down back into the ground, refertilizes everything, and it grows again the next year. It is so efficient how God made it. But there's a trick inside of it, the way God did it. There's one specific thing that there is that helps it to be able to produce so much. The trick is in the fruit and in the seeds. Now, if you take a cow, for example, you take a cow and you see how many cows you can get over the next, say, 10 years. Start with one cow, assuming it's a female, right? And your neighbor has a bull, and you're able to breed those cows, and you have the next season another cow, and assuming it's a female too, and you do this for 10 years, at the end of 10 years, and a generous neighbor, you have about 18 cows at the end of 10 years. That's taking account of how long it takes each cow to grow up and to be able to have another baby cow and the whole process all the way down there. 10 years to get 18 cows. 18 cows is a lot. But compare that to corn, for example. If you take 10 years and see what you can get out of corn, starting with one stalk of corn. Well, assuming that stalk has about 2 years to come out, we used to grow corn in our garden. I don't know how successful we were at it, but we did grow corn in the garden. And each ear has about 800 or so kernels on that ear of corn. And there's two ears per stalk at minimum. So you have you start with one plant, and over the next 10 years, assuming that half of the corn is eaten by something else and half of it is planted, at the end of 10 years, you know how many kernels of corn you get from just that one kernel of corn? Here's the number: 134 octillion. I didn't know what that number meant. It's 134 with 24 zeros behind it. It is a huge amount, much more than 18. Okay? So you have this two different things here that are trying to reproduce themselves. That's what all of nature is trying to do. And that's, by the way, what we as Christians ought to be doing, is reproducing ourselves in this world the same way that God gave us in the pattern of nature. There's supposed to be more Christians today than there were yesterday just because I'm here. That's part of my job, okay? So the trick and why you have so many more fruits, and we're not calling ourselves fruits, we're calling ourselves fruit trees, right? The reason there's so much more plants than there are animals is because the trick is in the fruit and the seeds. How are you doing with that over there? Still good? Okay, keep on going. You're almost done. We're trying to get to something there. Okay, see if you can expose one of those seeds. Keep on going, but don't eat the seed. I don't think it might be good for you. So here's the process, what happens. You have, in this fruit, God designed it so it will work so well, and this same process, God calls us trees. We're supposed to be like the trees planted by the rivers of water. We're supposed to be like fruit trees. What am I supposed to do? Well, the exact same thing that happened to that fruit, to that tree, that entire process is what I'm supposed to do with my life. And there's something that happens so often in so many Christians' lives where we get through the process, but not all the way through the process. We get almost all the way there, and then the process stops. And it doesn't continue for the last step that it's supposed to do. And that whole thing is really important. Okay, you good there? All right, we got one of the seeds. Going to dump it out here and give me the core. Thank you, Josh, for your help. Now you don't need dinner. You're good to go. Okay, so thank you, Josh. I appreciate you helping there. Now, I need a second volunteer. Anybody? To eat the apple core. Anyone going to do it? Yeah, the missionary kids, the only crazy ones in here. Okay, so no one wants to eat an apple core. I remember this old cartoon where you say, apple core, much more, who's your friend? I throw the apple core at him, okay? Nobody wants an apple core. Everybody wants an apple. Nobody wants just the seeds. No one wants just that. It's not appetizing. It's not what you want out of the situation. Now, here's how it works out for us in what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. The same way that tree, that whole process that happened to it, is what's supposed to happen to us. I'm going to highlight a few different things in that process here, and hopefully we can catch on to some things and use them for ourselves tonight. The tree, the very first thing that happens to that tree, assuming it's already growing, what does that tree need to be doing? The tree needs to be receiving the nutrients that it needs to be able to survive. A tree needs water. We find that out here in New Mexico all the time. Trees need water, okay? Trees need stuff inside the dirt too. You can't just put a tree in the ocean. It's got to be stuff inside the water and inside the dirt for it to grow the right way. But if the tree is receiving the stuff that it needs, receiving the water and receiving the nutrients, if it has what it needs, you know what it's going to do? It's going to grow. And that tree eventually is going to produce fruit. Why? Because that's what trees do. God designed them to do that. God designed the tree so specifically that it would grow, and after a few years, it would start producing fruit as long as it has what it needs. If it doesn't have what it needs, you can forget it. If there's not enough water, the tree's going to dry up and die. If it doesn't have enough nutrients, it might bloom, but it's not going to bear the fruit that it's supposed to have. It has to have what it needs to be able to produce the fruit that it's supposed to produce. So that's number one. Number two, what does the tree do? It produces fruit. That's number two, I'm sorry. Number three, people and animals are drawn by the fruit. Just like Josh was drawn to the apple here, and I hope he enjoyed it. Was it good? Yeah, okay, it was a decent apple, okay? People are drawn and animals are drawn. Everything is drawn to something edible. I like eating. Everyone likes eating. So we're drawn to things that are edible when we're hungry. And God designed it that way. God put all this edible stuff around this on purpose. So it would draw people in. It would draw animals in so that we would eat that fruit. We'd pick it and we'd take it with us. Now, you know what happens to this part? It gets thrown out the window, or it gets planted, or whatever happens to it. Do you know where that happens? Oftentimes, thousands of miles away from where the tree grew originally. It spreads out all over. So it gets drawn everywhere. And this happened to Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew 21, and when he or Jesus saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it. You know why? Because fruit draws everything to it. God designed it that way. It's a big draw. Number next, they eat the fruit and then throw away the seeds. Many fruit seeds are not even destroyed by a digestive tract. They go through the whole thing, and then they're planted with a whole bunch of fertilizer to be able to grow the next season. That's the way God designed it. It's a smart designer. He knew exactly what he was doing. Next, the seed grows far away from where the original tree is. But here's the thing. You have a whole new tree way away from where the original, wherever that tree came from. You have a whole new tree that's producing a whole new set of fruit season after season after season, and it's working correctly. This whole process that God designed works incredibly. I love watching stuff. I like watching the nature show. I'll just watch hours and hours and hours of it because I love learning about all this stuff. It is so great. The two problems that can happen. Two problems. Number one, there can be no fruit. If the tree's not getting what it needs, the tree will not produce fruit. So this whole process that God created, if there's no fruit on that tree, there will be no more trees from that one tree, okay? If there's no fruit, it's not going to work, okay? It just doesn't happen. Next problem is that there's no seeds. Who's ever eaten a piece of fruit with no seeds in it? I have. They have seedless grapes. They have seedless watermelons. They have a lot of seedless things, but can you plant a seedless grape and get another grapevine from it? Not gonna happen. No matter how many of those grapes you plant, I mean, you could do the same thing you do with the apple. Plant the apple, you're gonna have apple trees coming up. Plant the seedless grapes, you're gonna get nothing except a whole lot of frustration because you're not figuring out why is this not growing. It's because there's no seeds. It's super important that there are seeds inside of this here. Now, this whole process is what God has in nature, but it teaches us something. God says that we're supposed to be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that we're supposed to bring forth fruit in our season. What we are supposed to do is just like that tree. So let's look at the Christian process. What am I supposed to be doing as a Christian to reproduce myself in this world the way God designed me to do it? Number one, we need to receive the nutrients that we must have in order to survive. The Bible says in Matthew 4:4, Jesus is speaking to the devil here. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What we need as Christians is right here. This is everything that we need. We don't need a whole lot of extra things. We don't need all these extra programs. We don't need everything that there, we don't need the TV shows to exist. I mean, we like to watch stuff every once in a while, but it's not necessary for us. We don't need all the friends on Facebook to exist. It's nice, but it's not necessary. We don't need all this stuff that the world provides. We don't need the fame. We don't need all the money in the world. We don't need all the different pleasures and all this different stuff. We don't need all that stuff. What must we have, though? We must have the Bible. But what do we have? We have a lot of people that are enjoying all these other different things, but are neglecting the Bible. That happens so often in Christianity, where someone just gets busy with their life and they forget to read the Bible, or you read the Bible, but not long enough or intense enough to be able to get anything out of it. You know, God's not so much concerned with how much of the Bible that you read as He is how much is stuck up here once you close the book. He wants you to read it and to study it and to learn it and to memorize it. That's why games like what we were playing earlier are so important. It helps us with learning what the Bible says. And why is that important? Because I need it. As a Christian, if I don't have it, I will not produce fruit. So what do I need to do? I need to get around the Bible any way that I possibly can. Preaching, reading the Bible myself, listening to the Bible, finding the dramatized version of the Bible because that makes it really interesting too. I mean, anything I can do to get the Bible in me, I must have it. It's so necessary. Next, just like in the tree, the growth for the Christian is natural. If I'm in my Bible, if I'm in my church, and if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, my growth is going to be natural. I don't have to force it. Excuse me. I don't have to fake it. I don't have to do anything. It's just going to happen because God designed the Christian that way. If I'm reading the Bible and taking, like the Bible says, the sincere milk of the Word, I am going to grow just like God wants me to grow. It doesn't have to be forced. It doesn't have to be faked. It's going to be natural. It's going to happen. And after I grow a little bit as a Christian, the fruit is going to be produced. Now, what are the fruits that a Christian produces? Well, we hear about the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And that's not all of them. That's just listing a bunch of them. There is so many fruits that a Christian is supposed to produce. It works that way. And all the good things that we do in life are the fruit that we have. Now, let me ask you this. Would you rather be around a loving person or an angry person? What would you prefer? Right, I'm going to just grab this over here. What would you rather? That Josh eating that apple, I think, affected my throat somehow. I don't know. Would you rather be around a loving person or an angry person? Would you rather be around a joyful person or a depressed person? I know me. I don't like to be around people that are depressed. It's not fun. You don't enjoy that. Would you rather be around a peaceful person or someone that's always producing strife? Every time you're around them, there's some kind of argument. And there's some kind of, I don't like that. Would you rather be around someone that's patient with you or around someone that has no patience for you? It's difficult, right? All these fruits of the Spirit, that's what we're supposed to produce. And just like with the tree, it draws people to it. If you're living the way you're supposed to live, if you're living as a Christian ought to live, you're going to have people that are drawn to you. Why? Because you're loving, because you're gentle, because you're good, because you're kind, because you're living like a Christian, that's the fruit that everyone can see, and they're drawn to it. So many times people are going to come, and they're going to see our good works, like the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5. They'll see our good works. Man, that's a good person. I want to be around them. They may not like what you stand for. They may not like your religion. They may not like your God, but they love you and how you act and the type of person that you are because of the fruit that you produce. Now, if you're a carnal Christian and you're not in the Bible and you're not in church or paying attention, or if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you're going to be just the average person, just like them. And you're not going to be producing fruit, and no one's going to be drawn to you. No one's going to wonder about what's different about you. No one's going to wonder about anything about your life because you're no different than what they are. But if you're in the Bible and if you're growing and you're producing the fruit, that's what draws people to you. Next, people take advantage of that fruit. Have you ever had someone take advantage of your kindness? Or take advantage of your generosity? Or take advantage of your love? It happens. That's the way that it is. But we shouldn't be surprised about it. I mean, after all I am is a fruit tree. I just produce the fruit. It's not my business where the apple goes or who picks it. God designed me to grow and to design me to produce these different fruits. And eventually, because it draws people in, someone's going to pick it. Maybe with a grateful attitude or maybe just with an ungrateful attitude. But they're going to pick the fruit that I've produced. They're going to take advantage of the love that I have or the kindness that I have or whatever fruit of the Spirit that I'm showing. They're going to take advantage of it and they're going to be drawn to it. What am I supposed to do in that situation? Well, I'm supposed to pray for them. If it's someone that's with a bad attitude or ungratefully taken from me, then I ought to pray for them. The Bible says, pray for them that despitefully use you. That's part of the Christian process. Maybe it's someone that is grateful. I'm still supposed to pray for them because I'm supposed to pray for everybody that I come in contact with. But the idea is that people are drawn to the fruit and they take the fruit and they eat the fruit and they take advantage of it with maybe a good or a bad attitude. Doesn't matter. It's completing the process that God's designed. He wants us to bear fruit. He wants other people to be attracted to it and to take advantage of that fruit. The last part of the thing here, last part of the process, is the seed of the Word of God, that little one right there, now takes root in their heart. It takes root in their heart. The Bible says, Isaiah 55, 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God gives the increase. We have our fruit. We produce the fruit. God uses the nutrients and the Bible and everything that there is out here to bring it up in our lives, but He produces it, and it's His business. He's going to make it prosper. But here's what happens so oftentimes. We produce fruits, but we neglect to put the seeds inside of them. We are fruitless, or we are seedless fruits. Here's what I mean. Someone, you're kind to somebody, and it draws them in. And they take of your kindness, and that's wonderful. And then you part ways. And the seed never gets planted. Well, what's the seed? The Bible says the seed is the Word of God. In the parable in Mark, that's the Word of God right there. So what am I supposed to do? As someone takes advantage of my kindness, or as someone, I get to love somebody, or I get to be generous to somebody, or I get to be patient with somebody. You know what I'm supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to be telling them how Jesus was patient with me. I'm supposed to be telling them the truth of God's Word. Whatever way that I can relate the Bible into what I am doing and how they are being drawn to what I am producing, I'm supposed to put the Word of God inside of it. always be talking about the Word of God. That's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy when he was talking about raising kids. You're supposed to talk about it all the time when you go on the way, when you stand up, when you sit down, when you eat, when you sleep. I mean, you're supposed to be talking about it all the time. As these situations come up, take the opportunity that there is and plant those seeds. So who are the people that are taking the fruit? Let's name a few of them. Number one are the unsaved. Many times, the unsaved people will take advantage of your Christianity. Now, they won't have to live like a Christian themselves, but they expect you to. And they expect you to be kind. They expect you to be patient, you to be loving. They expect you to live right and do the right thing. And because you're doing that, they're going to enjoy being around you, and they're going to take advantage of that. Your job then, as they are taking that fruit, make sure it's got the seed. But let me tell you about why my kid obeyed me. Or let me tell you about why my wife didn't make me sleep on the couch. Or let me tell you about why all the Mother's Day, you got to throw that in there somewhere, right? Because God says this. Or because I'm doing this like God told me to. Or because the Bible says it this way. If an unsaved person comes to me and they say, I just don't get, why in the world are you doing this? This happens to us all the time in Chile. We go to a school or to the university, and we are from America living in Chile. Now, to them, it's supposed to be the other way around. You're supposed to be from Chile going to America. That's because that's what everyone there wants to do, is, you know, go to America. That's the goal. But we're doing the opposite. And they come to us and say, that's weird. We like you being here. We like what you do for us. But why are you doing that? Oh, there's the opportunity to put the seed in there. Well, let me explain this to you. We're here because we want to make sure that you know how to go to heaven. Let me ask you this. If you died today, are you 100% for sure that you'd go to heaven? And it's that simple to plant the Word of God through the fruit that we're bearing. And we've just got to give that to them. And if we will just open our mouth and say it, instead of just being good Christians and producing all this fruit, I mean good people and producing all the fruit, let's be good Christians and produce the fruit with the seeds so that the same thing that we have can be reproduced inside of them. Who else takes advantage of it? The wayward children, maybe. Whenever you people raise their kids and then they go off and do their own thing, they're still attracted to that fruit that mom and dad are still producing. And you still have an influence because they're still there picking the fruit and you can still plant the seeds. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's through some other family member or some other friend that they have, but it's still there. Who else does it? Backslidden people do. I'm never sure if I've ever met someone that's backslidden. I for sure never have backslidden, right? No one ever does that, right? No, all of us, we take turns at backsliding. We shouldn't, but we all do it every once in a while to some degree or another. And we, even when we're not right with God, will still be attracted to the fruit of Christians who are right with God, who are reading their Bible, who are going out soul winning, who are doing what Christians are supposed to be doing. People take advantage of that fruit and come and pick the fruit. We're drawn to it. But who else does? Those that are right with God. Now, I'm sure glad I get to be around a bunch of people that are producing fruits of the Spirit. I can enjoy being around people because they're patient with me or because they're loving and they're kind. And we can be a big old orchard together and enjoy each other's company because of that. And it's wonderful to be able to be in God's house because of all the fruits of the Spirit that we're all producing. It's great. But as we're talking to one another, don't forget to include what God's done for you. Well, let me tell you why I acted this way when that bus kid kicked me. Well, because I remember when, you know, God was merciful to me and put it in there somehow. Any way that you can get God's word inside of it is something good for us to be doing. If we don't, we're just fruity. We're not seedy. We need to be producing the seeds. Everybody is drawn to the fruit of whatever tree that is out there in Christianity as well. I want to give you one example of this. My family is a great, I use this illustration everywhere when we go and talk about this. We talked about the apple being grown in one area and the seeds being planted in another area. Right now, on three different continents, people are reaping fruits from my parents' tree because they planted here in the South Valley of Albuquerque and over and over and doing what they're supposed to be doing and making sure we're spiritually having what we're supposed to have and growing up right and all this stuff and all the discipline that no one liked at the time. But all these things are happening. Now my brother is here. You all are reaping the benefits of that. My sister's in Africa with her family. People are getting saved over there. We're in Chile. People are getting saved over there. All these different fruit trees all over the place because someone did their job right. And it's a huge blessing to me to be able to share that, but I want to take that same thing and go somewhere else and do the exact same thing. I don't want to be the person who stops it. I want to continue it. I want to make sure that I am being fed like I ought to from the Word of God so that I can produce myself somewhere else in someone else. So just like the fruit tree has problems that could happen, we as Christians have problems that could happen. Number one, we cannot produce fruit. And if that happens, that's not good for us. If we're not producing fruit, it shows that there's a root problem. If there's no fruit, it's because there's no root. You've got to be in the Bible, sucking up the nutrients that God has in His Word. There are so many things there that maybe they're not brand new for you to read it this time because you've already read the Bible through maybe before, but you still need to read it again. Just because the tree got watered once doesn't mean it never needs to get watered again. You need to constantly be in the Bible every single day, being where you ought to be, reading in the Bible, learning from it, everything that you possibly can. If there's no fruit, and like Jesus, when we talked about that whole situation, Jesus was drawn to the fig tree because he saw all the leaves out there. And then whenever he got close, he found that there was no fruit, but leaves only. Now, it may be good for shade, but I don't want to be just a shade Christian. I don't be shady. How'd that go, right? I want to be a Christian that's producing fruit that has the seeds inside of it. I want to do what I'm supposed to do. What happened to that tree? The Bible says that Jesus told the tree that it would never produce fruit ever and immediately withered up and died. That's not the Christianity that I want. I want to be producing the fruit because I'm in the Word of God, where I'm supposed to be doing. That's the way to live. The other problem is no seeds. And here's where that comes in. We just oftentimes don't tell people about why we do what we do. We keep our business to ourselves, and that's maybe politically correct, but that's not what Christianity is all about. I mean, Christianity is up front, in your face, knock on your door even, and tell you about the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do. And if there's people here that are not involved in actively spreading the gospel or involved in the soul winning program at the church, please get involved. You must do it. It's how to be a productive Christian. What good is the apple if it has no seeds? Okay, maybe you'll enjoy it for a while, but you won't keep it going. Maybe Christianity is good for you, but if you don't plant it in someone else, Christianity won't be good to your kids. You've got to do what you're supposed to do to make sure the thing keeps going. And if we're not producing seeds, then it's not going to work the way God designed it. It will break His design. We need to be the fruit-bearing Christians that also tell people about what we're supposed about the gospel that's inside of the fruit that we're producing. Nourish yourself and your children the right way: Bible, prayer, church, etc. Avoid poisons. How do you keep from having seeds that don't produce anything? Avoid poisons. There are so many things out there, all the different chemicals right now, that if they get into the ground around your tree, it will kill the tree, or it will make it sterile. Make it where it won't produce anything anymore. There are poisons in this world for the Christian. All these different worldly influences out there can be poisons to us. Maybe the songs that we sing or listen to. Maybe the TV shows that we watch that we ought not. Maybe the friends that we have that we shouldn't hang around. All those things can be poisons. If it's not helping me, it's killing me as a Christian because it's either good or it's bad. Develop your fruit-yielding abilities through practice. When God gives you an opportunity to be patient with somebody, don't get mad at the person. Thank God that He's giving that opportunity. Hey, I get to produce another fruit, and I get to put a seed inside of it. I get to practice this time. Don't get mad when you must show kindness to somebody. Don't look at all these opportunities that God gives you, whether through heartache or through trials or through problems or whatever it is. Don't look at them bad. It's an opportunity. God works everything together for the good. Let me look at it that way and practice bearing fruit. And make sure that I include the seeds. Be constantly telling other people through soul winning, through counseling. Maybe when someone asks me advice or whenever I ask someone else advice, I need to make sure that if someone asks me anything about life, that I tell them not only the answer, but the Bible reason behind the answer. Yeah, you ought to do this, and this is why, because God says that if you do, this is the results. Put that seed inside there through teaching, through parenting, through helping or serving in whatever ministry you can. View every fruit as an opportunity to plant the Bible in the hearts of those around you. And then the last thing here, we'll finish up with this, the last thing. stick around long enough to see the fruit that you planted, the seeds you planted, grow and fruit through others. Stick around long enough to eat the apple yourself that you planted in the lives of other people. Through a few decades, you get to see how God's faithfulness and how His Word will bloom and take root and produce fruit in all these different people around you that you've had the opportunity to influence. And you'll be able to sit back and look around and say, look at that person there and there and there. And there are all these different people that you had an influence in your life. You may not be able to recall all the influences. We try to do this as we go to different places and that people have had an influence in our lives, point out specific things that they have done for us or for me in my life. You were there for this moment in my life. You helped me to make this decision, or you set a good example for me, and they never knew it. They don't remember it. We talked to a lot of people, they don't remember any of it, but it made a big deal to me. But they stuck around long enough to be able to have us come back and enjoy a little bit of company, enjoy watching God work through our lives, maybe not being able to be there personally with us down in the other country, but being able to watch and see how God's done through our lives because of the seeds that they planted. So here's my encouragement. Be in the Bible. Get what you need to get out of God's Word. Grow, produce the fruit, but don't forget to talk about it. They must know. God was so big in the Bible about building altars so that they can remember what happened, and they would tell their children, and they would tell their children's children, so they would know what things God had done for them. Let's do the same thing. Include the seeds. Dear Lord, thank You for all that You've given to us today. Thank You for Your blessings and for, like I said, a good church to go to. Please help us tonight as we examine our lives, as we look at our version of Christianity that we're living. Maybe it's a version of Christianity that's not producing any fruit. Maybe we look at our lives and compare them to what the Bible says, and we're not kind, or we're not patient, or we're not loving, or we're not good, or whatever it is that You may be working in our lives about. Help us to start growing and to produce the fruit that You want us to produce, and to be the kind of people that You want us to be. And then also on top of that, help us to be not just good people producing these fruits, but help us to be good Christians and producing the seeds and talking about You all the time to everyone around us.